The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your
soul.
Settles in your soul.
Jefferson.
It does. It goes right in there.
Amen.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa.
Janet Chandler.
And Wynn Carpenter.
We are here with Jefferson State of Mind. We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. And I'm not. Is that the only place they can hear us now, or? Do we know?
They're still working on AM right now.
Okay, at 1460 AM when it works.
Well, I know FM was working because I listened to it on the way down
right,
the hill.
Right, and that's where I had to go too.
Yep.
But you also can listen online at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever and ever and ever.
For those of us who get up late.
Or used to get up late.
Used to get, now
you've
I have
been
to get
an
up early,
bird.
Yeah.
So, how was the hut, Mama Jay?
Oh, hey, if you think you've been to Hawaii, you haven't been to Hawaii unless you've been to the island of Molokai. It is true Hawaii. It was fantastic. Yeah, no crowds, no high-rises, no glitz, no glamour, no tourists, just me and my private beach.
And what about Armando, the pool boy?
There was no pool.
She had the ocean.
Armando, the sea boy.
No, I just had a week lying in the sun and swimming in the water.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, this morning we have a guest, and it is Laura Hobbs. And Laura, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
Great, great. So I'm glad you called in. This is great. I've got some questions for you. The Shasta County Elections Committee, which is something I think probably everybody in this room here anyway really wants to see. Can you explain their function and also if you would, I guess that's going to be R3 on the regular calendar, isn't it, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your thought process
that's
on that?
That's correct. So their function is to look into issues that maybe the board of supervisors themselves don't have the time to directly investigate and then bring forth recommendations before the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, like other boards in the community, like the Board on Aging, for instance, there's some issues which require more in-depth look, which the board themselves, the members themselves, don't have the time to accomplish. So they kind of outsource that, and then they take forth the recommendations, and in the best case scenario, they implement the recommendations they've been given. That hasn't been the case of our board with the Election Commission. However, if you go to the Election Commission website, it's through the shastacounty.gov, you can see all of the different things that they have produced for this county. They produced recommendations for hand counting at the precincts, one-day voting, limiting the number of drop boxes, removing the electronic poll pads, etc. And then it also, the other function is that it provides an avenue for citizens to actually bring forth complaints, because right now the citizens' only option is to speak during general comment at the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesdays, and you only get 2 minutes. It's not sufficient time to talk about in detail the things that you've witnessed and observed, especially as election observers. You spend hundreds of hours in the elections office, and you cannot condense that into 2 minutes.
Well, here's
impossible.
Sure, I agree. So anyway, now each supervisor, and correct me if I'm wrong, each supervisor gets to pick someone to be on the commission. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So all right. So if some of the people that are on this commission, if they take a paying job to work at the elections office, even if it's temporary, are they still allowed to be on the commission or not if you were to choose one of them? Go ahead.
I believe they should be. In fact, I think they should be more, what do they call it when you're kind of taken into the, like, for instance, when journalists are overseas in war zone, they kind of become part of that troop that they're with.
Embedded.
Along with them.
Embedded. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that would be actually ideal, because what we saw during the November 2024 election was that one of our election commissioners, Ronnie Lund, he spent a lot of time as an election observer, and he actually did submit affidavits in our Ladd versus Toller lawsuit, which indicated, you know, they were breaking election laws, California election laws, specifically Joanna Francesca, who was running that election under, you know, Thomas Toller was the elected official at the time, but he was happy to broadcast to everybody that she was training Thomas Toller as to how to run an election. So basically, what happened as a result of that is that they said, well, we got to put the election commission on hold, because running one of, she was actually the chairwoman. They said, because Ronnie submitted this affidavit, which is just a simple testimony of what she witnessed as an observer, because she submitted that in the Ladd versus Toller case, they had to put the whole entire election commission on hold, and they stopped meeting. It hasn't met at all this year. It was supposed to resume meeting in January of 2025. They've had zero meetings this year.
Well, hasn't
it's a disservice.
Hasn't Clint Curtis been, I thought he even said it at a supervisor meeting, didn't Clint Curtis say he was in favor of having a commission, number one? And number two, I would think that probably the Board of Supervisors, I'd be surprised if they voted against not having the commission, because what if Joanna Francesca wins the race? What say you?
Well, exactly. I mean, we need to have it there for the citizens, no matter who the current ROV is.
Sure. I think that's what Clint said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree with that.
Now, let me ask you another question. Okay. Let me ask you another question about that then. I wonder if the Board of Supervisors will just say, hey, we're just going to go on Clint Curtis's recommendation, since, you know, and that would sort of, I think that would sort of be the, a path that they could go on and say, well, if Clint Curtis wants this, and, you know, maybe we should have it if he wants it. I mean, I don't think there's resistance, at least with three of them. I think you're going to have trouble with Long and trouble with, and maybe some trouble with Plummer, but you're going to have trouble with Long. And that brings me to another question, because you ran against Long. How did he ever get elected? Nobody even knew who the guy was. He had like three signs up. I mean, what was the name recognition, except that he's a friend of Modi's?
Right. Yeah, well, people are still trying to figure that out. I suspect there was election fraud. I mean, the fact that they put his name first on the ballot
right. Gave
him a 5% advantage. So right there, that was enough to get the extra 14 votes he needed to avoid a runoff with me. But basically, you know, to your point about the board simply implementing Clint Curtis's ideas, well, they have been very hesitant to use their jurisdiction and authority as a board to implement any election changes, you know, by ordinance, by whatever, what have you. And they would prefer just to leave it to the current ROV to decide. But part of what the election the main point here is that it's not just it's not just a relationship between the ROV and the board. Mm-hmm. It's also the relationship between the citizens of Shasta County and their election system. So it's not directly, you know, when the citizens get up during the election commission, we have a lot more than just 2 minutes to speak, and we can go in detail. And for instance, when I was an election observer and I had findings that I needed to share with them, I was able to actually do a presentation on what what was observed.
Okay.
I got 8 minutes to go before them. And then, so the thing is that it's not, I get your point, like, well, why can't, now we have a good ROV, whatnot. But it's more than that, because it provides an avenue for the citizens, which right now we don't currently have.
Laura, what would it take to get the commission back in business? Is this a decision that would have to be made by the board?
I believe so, yeah. They suspended it, so they'll have to reactivate it, let's say. And that would be a simple vote, a majority vote of the board.
And was their basis for discontinuing it, at least temporarily, was that based strictly on the actions of one of the commission members participating in the election? Was that the only reason?
That's the reason. That's the pretense they gave, and that's what they used. I believe the actual decision that they made was made in closed session. So I don't know. I have to go back and look at that. I don't know if that was something that was a violation of the Brown Act or not, but it's something that it needs to be. They said, oh, well, it's a legal matter, blah, 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 and so they took it into closed session, but it's something that the citizens need to fight for, in my opinion. And there's going to be a board meeting this Tuesday. It's at 9 a.m. It's R3 on the agenda, and I encourage you to show up in person, to email your supervisors, to call them, to let them know that this is important to you as a citizen. We don't want them to take any of our rights away, and this would be a way of silencing the voice of the citizens if they were to permanently get rid of this commission.
And you said that the commission has not met all year. Does that mean that this decision was made by the new board currently seated, or was it by the old board last year?
It was made by the new board.
Okay, so we're talking about Plummer, Long, Harmon, Kevin Cry, and Chris Kellstrom.
Yes, and I believe it, you know, more importantly is to talk about our current county council, which is Joseph Larmore. I believe that he has given the board members, the supervisors, some bad legal advice on lot of topics, and this is just one of them.
That would not be the first time that that's happened, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning other county councils have done the same thing, right?
Well, this county council seems to have a record going. So R3 on the agenda, if you want to have the commission back in business, come to the board meeting and express your opinion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think people need to. I don't see them disbanding it. I mean, I don't know what Long will do or Plummer will do, but I don't see them disbanding it. I think they'll embrace it and keep it going. I would think. I mean, it would make perfect sense if you selected an ROV officer that you brought in and you wanted that ROV officer to, he's the guy everybody wants. I mean, many of us wanted Clint Curtis. We've got him. If he'd like to have this commission, then I think they're probably going to grant him his wish. I mean, at least I think three of them will.
Well, they didn't give him the money he needed for some upgrades.
They gave it to him.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well.
They finally did. That was a little harder. They needed a 4-5 majority, but
yeah.
The fact of the matter is that Plummer and Long do not support the election commission.
Oh, okay, that's good enough.
So they only need one more vote. They only need one of the three members to vote alongside of them, and I suspect that Chris Kellstrom would happily do it, unfortunately, because he does not support election causes in Shasta County.
I don't think we can make that blanket statement that Chris does not support election causes. I think his complaint has been, and his concern has been, the way in which they are done. I know that he wants free and fair and transparent and open elections, but he, in a practical matter, is facing the pushback from the state, and he is looking at that in a financial regard for the people of this county.
Well, I'll tell you what he said at our Tina Peters January 6th protest this year. He said that if you want hand counting, then you need to move out of the state of California.
Well, precisely, so, because the state of California has a law. And I don't think he's against hand counting. He's just against standing up to the state and spending county money to fight it.
California has a lot of laws.
Well,
you know?
I think
the reason why we have a referendum process and a method of amending our charter county is because there are sometimes laws that are passed by our legislatures that the people do not agree with, and the people are allowed to fight against those things and petition their government, petition for redress. It's part of our constitutional rights.
That's absolutely correct. Yes, no one is arguing that. The problem, I think, with the current board members who seem to have opposed you, I don't think they oppose what you want. It's just the manner in which it's being done. And no matter how many petitions are signed, and I signed the petition and I gathered signatures, I support what you are doing. But eventually,
there's other manners to do it.
But eventually, we're going to come up against the fact that the state of California has a law, and passing an initiative in Shasta County is not going to change the state law. That doesn't mean that we don't fight, but the reality is that we are fighting the state of California legislation.
Well, I think the thing is that Clint Curtis, when we met him, Wynn and I did an interview. Remember that, brother?
Yes.
We did an interview with him, and it's gone viral, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And we're still sending that interview out. And he went to the Holiday Inn, and many of us were there. And his whole thing has always been hand counting and transparency and all the things that California doesn't do. Then why would Chris Kellstrom and Kevin Cry go to such extremes? I mean, such extremes to get him here, to have him be our OOV officer and grant him his wishes. And you're right, it took four. The three that you mentioned did vote for it. You know, Long didn't vote. Long wasn't going to vote for it. Finally, Plummer did. But the thing is that there's a lot of, I guess that's where my dilemma comes in. And a lot of people's dilemma is, why would they bring in a guy who wants to hand count? And his whole thing was hand counting. We sat there with that little machine and watched him do it, Wynn and I did. And, you know, it was like, then if he wants all the things we want, and they bring the guy in and make an effort to go get him, then how are they on the other side? Go ahead.
Could I explain something to your listeners? So there's multiple ways to enact reform. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that our Board of Supervisors could have enacted reform is through local ordinance. We actually lobbied them for over 2 years to try to get some kind of meaningful election reform. They refused to. This was even prior to AB 969. They refused to codify anything that would meaningfully reform our elections. So it was only out of lack of their response. Another response they could have done, which they did with the windmills, is to fight the state and say, no, we're gonna fight this law. We're gonna fight for our sovereignty. We're gonna represent our citizens and our constituents who do not want to bend a knee to the state of California.
AB 969 was passed by the old board. That happened during the old board, not the new board. Go ahead. AB 969 was the old board.
Chris Kellstrom was there, and Kevin Cry was there. Mm-hmm. So those are the two individuals we're speaking of in particular. And they did not champion election reform in our county. So as a result, we went forward with the charter amendment. And that is a legitimate way to enact reform at the county level, because most of your listeners do understand that our power resides in the county. Our power and our sovereignty resides here in the county. It doesn't reside with our legislators in Sacramento. It resides here in Shasta County.
Actually, the Constitution of the United States doesn't say that.
To say that the citizens should not go forward with a charter amendment for local election
reform is
basically saying you should not express your constitutionally protected rights because we think that the state has got to come and fix it for us.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that the solution is, and we talked to Doug LaMalfa. I don't know if you heard the show, and folks, if you haven't heard that show, go back 2 weeks and listen to Doug LaMalfa. The people who can change everything and fix everything with a snap of their fingers is Congress. That's Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Times, places, and manners of election shall be the jurisdiction of the state thereof. But Congress may change those, paraphrasing, for the public good. Congress could say no more machines. Congress could say no a one-day voting. Congress could say it's going to be a holiday. Congress could say it's hand counting with paper ballots. Congress could say all those things. And when we asked our congressman about it, because he could solve the whole problem, then nobody would have an argument. They could solve the whole problem. And if they do what the people want, which is what we want here in Shasta County and everybody wants, then, in fact, it would be a done deal. However, President Trump can't get him to do it. And Doug Amalfa's response was, well, we just can't get the votes. And I said, did some of the Republicans vote with the Democrats? And he said, yeah, sometimes. So, I mean, that's the issue. They could solve the whole thing. And I'm not disagreeing with anything you said on, you know, the initiative and all that stuff. Everybody in this room signed that we want this. But the point is that Congress could fix this whole mess, and we wouldn't have the mess if our Congress would stand up and do it. It is the jurisdiction of the Congress to do it, or the state, according to the Constitution. The charter, yeah, we have that. And I think that if it does pass, which I think it will pass with a huge margin, and I think the county will go ahead and cough up the money to defend us in court. I think they will.
And there is a difference between the windmills and this initiative.
Amen.
The windmills was not legislation that the county was fighting against. It was an open issue that was going before commissions, and it had not yet been decided. And that's why they were giving their input and talking about it to the state, trying to have them make the decision that would best benefit Shasta County. So they were not fighting against the
staff. I believe you're incorrect on that.
No.
It was AB 9 and AB 5 where the state actually said the California Energy Commission gets to decide this matter and not
and the
county.
And the county was going
so that
before,
was legislation.
No. The county was going before that commission to try to influence their vote, which had not been done yet. So
the legislators already enacted that as a response to what was happening here in Shasta County.
Yes, and it's true. They said that this commission, the state, will have the final decision on whether or not the windmills went in. And this county was there before the commission to make the right decision for the county. It was not legislation that they were trying to change. They were going...
Actually, they're in a lawsuit right now.
Exactly.
To fight that very situation. So it's actually very similar because...
Well,
what happened with AB 969 was that was written as a response to what the county did here in Shasta where they decided to get rid of the Dominion machine.
The legislation.
And there was a period of time where it was not legislated that we would be banned from hand counting.
The legislation
so there
only.
There was a period of time when they could have fought.
No, we're not talking about a legislation that said Shasta County has to accept windmills. The legislation said that the state gets to make the final determination, and the county
Correct.
Was going before the state to give input as to what determination that would be. So they were not fighting established legislation. They were only trying
What I'm talking about is the lawsuit that they're still currently fighting, I believe.
Well,
Are you familiar with that?
The lawsuit for what purpose?
To basically regain our sovereignty and say, hey, I don't care that the legislature in Sacramento passed a law. Shasta County is not going to allow those windmills, no matter what the California Energy Commission says.
Yes, but the decision has not yet been made, actually. So they were not fighting legislation at that point. They were fighting, they were presenting information for a decision. So it's not the same.
Maybe it's just an issue of semantics here.
Yeah. But as far as the election reform, it is absolutely correct that your initiative will affect county local elections. But it cannot change state law. It cannot require within Shasta County hand counting for a state or federal election. It will only affect county elections,
yes.
And therefore
one county at a time.
If we have a split ballot that would suit the purposes of the legislation. But Shasta County...
That would be one option, but that wouldn't be necessary because, in fact, you have no statewide election office in Shasta County anywhere, right? If you go to the elections office, it's the Shasta County election office, not the state of California election office, right?
But it is a state election. If it's for
a state election, but that doesn't matter because if you look at also Article 11 of the California Constitution, it says that elections are a municipal affair. That means that we, as a charter county, are in charge of our municipal affairs, and elections are a municipal affair. So we can decide the manner in which our votes are counted.
But there's the municipal. It applies to local, county, and city elections. And
it also applies to state and to federal, because the federal government cannot go in to certain counties, because there's about 3,100 or 3,300 different counties in the United States, and they cannot go to each of those counties and tell them how to conduct their election.
That's true, but the state can. And the state does, and the state did with their legislation.
The whole reason why we're doing this is because it's been done before, for instance, in Huntington Beach.
I read the Huntington Beach.
They made a voter ID rule, and the state of California tried to oppose them, and they lost.
But the court said, yes, you can impose all of these laws, but it only applies locally. It doesn't apply to a state election. That's the way I read it.
I understand, Janet. We're not trying to change the entire state. We're trying to change Shasta County. You have to start one county at a time. Start where you're at. Local action and national impact, that's what General Flynn says. So that's what we're doing. That's the purpose. And we gathered about 10,000 signatures. So that was the breaking news a couple weeks ago on September 16th. And
yes.
I appreciate everybody that signed, all you guys in the studio there, and all the people, including some of you in the studio, that helped us circulate those petitions. And, it was really a community-led effort. It could not have been done by one person alone. So I appreciate everyone's help on that.
And I applaud and obviously supported your efforts. But I think we all have to be realistic in what they will actually accomplish and what the road ahead means for us and the obstacles over which we must come.
We're late for our break, Laura, so we're going to have to leave it there. We got to take the break. Anyway, thank you so much for calling in, setting us straight on the Elections Commission. And, yeah, folks, go down there and let your voices be heard. I think that the Election Commission is a worthwhile thing for us to have as citizens. Anything else, Janet?
We've got about a minute. Give it a good fight.
If you guys want to contact us, go to safejustelections.org. That's elections with an S.
Sounds
and
good.
And you can find us there. Thank you.
You
Thank
bet.
You, Laura.
So with that, we'll go off for a break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Get ready for a festive evening at Oktoberfest 2025, hosted by the Reading Exchange Club, Saturday, October 11th. Gates open 6 p.m. till 11 p.m. at Reading's historic Tiger Field Baseball Park. The Exchange Club is proud to host their second annual Reading Oktoberfest, Saturday, October 11th from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the famous Reading Historic Tiger Field Baseball Park. This event is bigger and better than ever, featuring local craft beer, delicious food trucks, live music, and classic Oktoberfest games like Steinhold holding contests, axe throwing, beer pong, cornhole tournaments, and much more. This event benefits the Reading Colt 45s and other organizations, including the Shasta County Peace Officer of the Year Awards and Special Olympics support. Join the fun and celebrate the beginning of fall at the second annual Reading Exchange Club Oktoberfest. On Saturday, October 11th, whether you're a beer enthusiast or simply looking for a great night out, this Oktoberfest celebration offers a great adult night of fun. Order tickets online. ReadingOktoberfest.eventbrite.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, my name is Lori from Backrubs. We've been working with the Rancheria since 2008. It's an honor to be partnering with Rancheria. They are one of our favorite groups to work with.
I'm Yasmin Pena with Shasta Heating and Air Conditioning. We've been working with the Reading Rancheria since 2022, and we are proud to be their go-to whenever they need work done.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
hour to make everyone laugh in the studio.
Was that Sally Lou? Or was that you? Was that my Sally Lou?
It was in the email this morning.
I mean, Sally Lou.
Yep. No more missing.
Oh, honey, you. How? Pathetic.
Prescient.
Yeah. How about no more Mrs. Nice Girl?
Oh, you know, I support any initiative from the people. I support the election initiative. Everything that they are for will be good for not only Shasta County, but the state of California, for our elections. Fair, transparent, open. But we have to be realistic on what exactly we are going to get from this initiative. And I do not denigrate it. It is democracy. You're always talking about democracy. Well, this is a vote of the people right here with this initiative. But it will not change state law. And we must recognize that if we pass this, it applies only to to county and city elections. It's local only. You'd have to have a split ballot. Not a bad idea. We can do that. But it does not alter, it does not do away with state passed legislation. It cannot do everything that they want it to do. They're going to have to fight for it. And it does not apply statewide. It applies only to Shasta County. So be honest with what you're doing. Be honest with the people. And when Chris Kellstrom particularly fights against this initiative, it's not the initiative. It's not the things on the initiative. It's the fact that it is going to mean Shasta County dollars will be spent fighting the state. And it's up to the county to decide if it's worth it to them, and it very well may be. It's a fight we may want to take on, but it is a fight that we are going to have. And we cannot ignore the fact that we will be coming up against the state of California. Now, there is a definite difference between the legislation passed limiting fair elections in California, passed by the state legislature, and the windmills. The windmill legislation said that the state of California now gets to decide whether or not there will be windmills, not Shasta County. But they didn't say we must have windmills in Shasta County. And that was what the county did, was go before that commission and present evidence and present testimony as to how it would harm Shasta County. They were fighting against the windmills. They were not trying to overcome legislation. And as far as I know, there has not yet been a determination by the commission in California as to whether or not we will have the windmills. I have not heard lately. But there were many groups and organizations that went to those hearings mm-hmm. and presented information. Mm-hmm. And that was what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. The commission had hearings so that the people could come to them and say what they wanted and why. They were not trying to overcome legislation.
And the elephant in the room is the Republicans in the House of Representatives. I mean, it's just that simple.
Are there any?
Well, that's the whole point. See, that's the thing, where our fight has been is we are trying to bring forward, move Congress to go ahead and enact what they can do in Article 1, Section 4. Everybody keeps talking about our constitutional rights, and this is constitutional, and this isn't. Well, this is constitutional, and we wouldn't even be having this argument if Congress would do their job and say, into this stuff, no more machines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If they did their job. It's that simple, and that's why we've been trying to hold Congress's feet to the fire. We're arguing again amongst ourselves in a lot of cases here in this county when Congress could just with the stroke of a pen do it. That's why we had Doug LaMalfe on, because we want to make sure that people understand that's where the real big deal is. We can fight all we want, but Congress can fix it in a heartbeat.
How many congressional seats are supported by donors, and the donors being the the elections of the election machines, everything to do with elections? How many of them are supported by that? How many of them receive big dollars for their campaigns? Be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, I'm looking at this map of California, and if they actually go through with this redistricting, we will have, at best, 4 Republicans in the California State Assembly. 4.
Four.
Because there will be 4 right. Republican district.
So we go from 80, a total of 80, down to 4.
Well, we actually had, the last vote they had was 33-8. Mm-hmm. These were the people who wanted to put the Proposition 50 on the ballot.
Right.
Okay. There were 30, the vote was 32-8 in the Senate, mm-hmm. putting it on the ballot, and 59-20 in the Assembly. So it's pretty much what we've been saying the whole time.
The whole time, yeah.
Okay, so that's a fact that you, when you get your voter guide, folks, and they you probably already got it. You can go look, like on the third page, it tells you what happened.
Just vote no on everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
not on the measure. I wouldn't vote no on the measure.
Just, oh my God. Oh, well.
Not that measure.
What, no on 50?
No on 50. No on 50 and no on 50.
You don't even need to know what it's about.
Yes.
Just go to the polls and vote no.
Well, yeah. But my point is, again, this is Congress's gig. Now, here's something else. I talked to Marley Hornick last week. And here's the deal. If Prop 50 passes, there will be between New York and California 75 Democrats in the House of Representatives. Representing two states. 75.
Representing two states.
Representing
the
only
left
two
coast
states.
And the east coast.
This move, people are, I mean, we're worried about all these other little things when Congress really has the power to do it. I mean, rather than trying to go after each other, we need to have Congress do what we want them to do.
I misspoke. I said there would be 4 in the California State Assembly. This is federal congressional districts.
That's right.
Yeah. That was in error.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, you know, and the point is that Steve Hilton was on a radio program this weekend. I got a chance to ask him a question when he was on the radio program, a couple of questions. One is what we just talked about, with the majority of the legislature mm-hmm. being an unovercomable, you could never overcome the power that the legislative body of California has on the Democrat side. You can't overcome it. It's impossible to overcome.
Right.
And so I asked Steve Hilton, well, what are you going to do? I mean, you're not going to have it. They can veto anything you do. And he said, well, you know, I'm in basically the executive branch is in charge of all the agencies. So he's saying he can change this agency and that agency. Oh, okay, until you start fighting the unions and they start telling you that they're not going to quit their jobs and they start telling you basically, okay, this is unconstitutional. I mean, we try to get rid of people in our county, going back to the county, and we can't even get them, and when we bring up stuff, it was like Kevin had mentioned this morning, and Tanessa Audette had mentioned, if you bring something up that's happened, you might be threatened to be sued by these people who are doing these egregious things in the staffs and these agencies we have in our county.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so how do you get rid of those people? I mean, you really have to change it at the ballot box, and the way you do that is you get Congress to move off the dime. Why won't they?
Well, we all know that Congress has become the biggest body of non-action in our country.
As Mark Baird said, feckless.
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 Yeah. We all rely on the president and the courts to do what's necessary because not every congressman, but the main job of Congress in general has become re-election. That's what they're working for, especially in the House.
Agreed.
Every 2 years, they've got to raise enough money for outrageously expensive elections.
You're right.
And that they don't want to upset anybody who may give them money. Now, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about in general. And I know our own congressman has said the job that he hates the most is getting money for re-election, but every 2 years. Mm. It has become a career.
If you have a question or a comment, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. You know, I think that we need to start pointing the finger at really where the blame is. And, we can blame ourselves for being, at least I can blame myself for not being engaged, although many of us have been engaged for a long time, and people that are kind of newer to the county. I mean, there's people now that are speaking out, that are standing up, that have just moved here, and that's good. A lot of them weren't around for the Modi recall, which was an eye opener. And boy, you talk about people that moved ahead, young people in this county that moved ahead to do the right thing. That was really leadership right there.
And they were the young ones, too. It wasn't the old gray hairs. It was the young people with kids.
Yeah. You know, and I know Alyssa McEwen did a great job in that, and Ronin, and a lot of people. To go out and get signatures, I know that Sally had a broken foot. She went out every night with Ronin with a broken foot to get signatures. You know, I'm just giving you kudos, baby, because I got to sit home. Anyway, all kidding aside, we need to start understanding, you know, who has jurisdiction over what, and I think that's been the main thing here. And I mean, just being angry and upset isn't going to solve the problem.
On both sides. It's not going to solve the problem.
It's not going to solve the problem.
We have to come together. We have to work together. We live, I mean, especially in our county, you know, we're a small county as far as population goes through, given what's going on in California. We need to make sure that we do everything that we need to do. We work together. There are going to be bumps in the road, but do you know what? We can't have grudges being held. We can't have, you know, people getting mad about certain things. You know, it's part of the process, and, you know, we just have to work with it and work around it. Some of the things we have to work around, or just figure out a way to work through it. And we have to, you know, throw out the olive branch on a regular just to make sure that we're all working together and keeping things going and moving forward so that we all benefit from it. It's not just, you know, he said, she said. Why split the group or I don't want to say party, but I don't want us to split what's going on. Everybody's working hard. Let's make that work be and that effort be productive.
And Congress has the jurisdiction.
And that's part of it, but I'm talking about local stuff.
Well, yeah, you're right on all the
stuff. Congress has jurisdiction over the election of representatives and senators, not anything else. But again, practically speaking, if they say that there will be paper ballots and there will be ID for senators and representatives, then it pretty much filters down
everything.
Right.
So anyway, David, sorry about that. We didn't see you over there. You're on a little whiteboard in the window, and if we're not looking that way, we don't see it. Anyway, David.
Hey, if there's anybody who understands the whiteboard, it's me. This is David, the producer over there. Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that we're taking Prop 50, it's coming up quick, are we taking it seriously enough? Are we doing enough to inform people about it? Do you think it's going to pass?
Yes.
And that's all I got.
Yeah, I think it's going to pass.
I think it will pass. But it is getting heavy coverage here in Northern California because it affects us so much. But the rest of the state doesn't care. And the commercials that I've seen on TV, they're going to be swayed, and the rest of the state will vote yes.
You know, David, if you look at your little voter guide you just got probably today or yesterday or, I mean, not today, but yesterday or Friday, it says who the proponents are for Prop 50 that wanted to pass, and that would be Gavin Newsom, Padilla, and, of course, Nancy Pelosi. So, and then you see the people who are speaking what we want, and that is that it doesn't pass. They're just people on different commissions, and I'm not saying just people. But I mean that the fix is in when it comes to California. What we don't seem to realize is that when you go to Santa Clara County, you have 84% of the people there that are registered Democrats. Just about the same in San Mateo County. More than that, well, just about the same in San Francisco County. They have more voters than 20 counties up in this neck of the woods. So in a lot of cases, that even proves the point more. fact that we don't have a voice in the government because our votes aren't going to count. Hell, in the national elections, they usually count everybody else before they count California and before our votes even go in. And we already know who the next president is, and we haven't even had we just voted an hour ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
so,
also in our new district, if Prop 50 passes, you know, we always joke about it from Modoc to Marin.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, where are all the votes? They're not in Modoc; they're in Marin.
Right.
So, how they vote is going to matter.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, and that's a great point, David. It isn't that I think that, you know, I think Shasta County, I mean, if Shasta County goes 90% saying no on Prop 50, I don't know if it's going to matter. And again, like I said, I mean, to have 75, between two states, 75 congressional seats in the House of Representatives now be Democrat just with Prop 50. I mean, that creates it because New York's already down that road.
Here's one aspect of this whole thing that truly disturbs me, and it's a commercial that I've seen on TV in favor of Prop 50, and it's being done by Padilla. And He speaks in Spanish. The whole commercial is in Spanish in favor of Prop 50. I am not against Spanish speakers. I wish I were bilingual. However, he is theoretically speaking to registered voters who are citizens of the United States. And it is a law that in order to become a citizen, you have to be versant in the English language. Then why do they have commercials in Spanish?
You know, that's just very thought-provoking, Mama J, and very true.
Yeah.
Why do we have ballots in all these different languages?
Exactly.
Ballots.
Yes.
Printed ballots. How much does that cost?
Yes. And I have a family member who became a citizen. She was from the UK, so obviously English was not foreign to her. But she still had to show her competency in speaking, reading, and writing English to become a citizen.
She probably did better than
Americans. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So why are we catering to them with ballots and commercials in Spanish?
Right.
Yeah.
So apparently they're catering to people who are registered to vote who are not citizens.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, again, I think Wynn's point was great. I think you made a great point there, brother, about how we need to start focusing on really where the problem is. And not so much where if you're gonna win the debate or not. I mean, that's a lot of it, you know, or the personal attacks even.
Yeah.
That stuff, I don't see how it can be helpful.
Well, that just derails what the main mission is. Every time, you know, when you're getting petty with each other, or truly maybe if you have legitimate beef with somebody, cast that aside, be an adult about it, set it aside and deal with the issue. And you'll find out there's more in common than there isn't, you know, if we all work together for the same common goal. I don't know, there are different ways to get to some of these goals, not all of them, but some of them. So let's work on it, figure it out.
One aspect, too, of Prop 50, if it passes, it gives Gavin Newsom a clear path to run for president, showing how strong he is in California.
Let him run for president. You don't think the rest of the country is going to slam him down?
If it doesn't pass, he's done. He shows absolutely no strength even in his own state. I don't think Gavin Newsom can win the country.
So then who's going to be counting all these ballots? It goes back to that once
again.
There you
go. Transparent elections.
Everybody vote. Yeah, go ahead and vote. Everybody votes. But who's counting the damn ballots?
Well, in Shasta County, at least we have a Clint Curtis counting the ballots instead of a Kathy Darlene Allen.
That's true. But then we're outnumbered by Orange County, Marin County.
There it is.
I mean, the numbers are vastly different down there.
Press one for English.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, we've gotten to the point, I mean, it's really, I mean, in these folks who don't care about politics, I mean, why is it that every pitcher in the major league has to have his interpreter come out to the catcher and the pitcher to figure out what they're saying to one another?
We have to be doing the hand signals in Spanish.
Can't you just say, I got it? You can learn to say, I got it, right? I got it. Maybe we should be teaching that to baseball teams. But, I mean, it's just gotten to the point where we have just become, I mean, America is America. And yeah, we should have diversity, but we also need to have some regularity when we have a situation with our language. I mean, if you don't speak English, and I remember way back when I was in business, and I had a friend who was from China, and he had a sunglass business, et cetera. This was back in the 80s. And I remember him saying, you know, when you come to America, you got to learn to speak the language. You got to learn to drive a car. Yeah, but you're in America. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't feel sorry for you for that. Look at the prosperity it's bringing your company.
Right.
I mean, you have to learn the rules. If I went to China, I'd have to probably learn Chinese.
Yeah.
Or if I went to, you know, Taiwan, I'd have to learn.
If you'd be allowed in.
Yeah. If you'd be allowed. Back in those days, it wasn't the same.
I am all in favor of not diversity, but differences. That's fine, but our strength is not in our diversity. Our strength is in our unity, and that's why E Pluribus Unum, mm-hmm. out of many, one.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way we can be successful, and history tells us this. Countries, civilizations that are divided do not prosper, not for long. Rome's downfall came because they tried to include too many people, too many different cultures, and it collapsed upon itself. They were trying to support and buy votes with things. We should have learned the lesson. And if you have not read Victor Davis Hanson's history books, that would be a great place to start in looking at our own civilization and where we are headed if we don't become one.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And I think that, you know, when we have a group of people that are wanting the same thing, that makes it easier to find common ground. If you want the same things, common ground should be much easier than wanting different things. And that's where I guess some of my confusion comes in. We all want the same things. We all should be working toward that.
Why do all these people come here? They want what we have.
Exactly right.
And then why do we try to cater to them by changing it to what they used to have?
Right on.
Right.
We are not multicultural. We are multi-ethnic.
That's right.
We have a lot of different background groups.
Absolutely.
But we have an American culture. And if we try to be multicultural, we will fail.
Well, we're doing that in Congress as we speak. Look what Congress has right now. What a hot mess that is.
And I am curious as to what's going to happen in New York with their mayoral election coming up next month, same time as our Prop 50
election. Yeah, but who's counting the ballots?
Yeah.
It all goes back to who's counting the ballots.
Yeah.
It's like, good grief. Don't people figure that out? The common denominator is who's counting it? Yeah, everybody vote. Yeah, I believe in everybody voting. I believe in that. But then who's counting them, and then they're being policed and watched and made sure that everything is legitimate, whatever the outcome may be, as long as it's done fairly and legitimately without all these additional ballots like what they did here in Shasta County. Well, they did that here, and we know that. We have proof.
A famous man said, I care not who votes. I care who counts the ballots.
There you go. That's right.
Yes. And if I were in New York having to choose a mayor between Cuomo and Mamdani, none of the above.
Move out.
Yeah.
Move away.
I guess Curtis Sliwa, there's your vote.
Yeah. I mean, we have to start recognizing where the problem is and then addressing the problem. As you both have said, arguing with one another, putting up walls against one another, attacking one another, especially when we want the same things.
Exactly.
What's the point? So my question is if you continue to do this and you're trying to get cooperation from both sides and you're continuing to do this then what's your real motive? What's your real motive for trying to go back and forth with someone who pretty much agrees with you? Well, we all know what we should be pushing for, and as Janet said, Article 1, Section 4, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is about senators, and yeah, it is, because we didn't have all the other stuff when that happened. But as you know, it trickles down.
Well,
that will trickle right on. And besides that, in California, because of Article 11 being legal subsidies of the state, if it goes to the state, it'll trickle down.
And obviously, they wanted the states to control their own elections. But if you say this is how the representatives and senators will be elected,
right,
the states are going to say, well, we might as well do that totally for our elections too. It's just conformity.
And it's just like, the Fair Voters Act, that's congressional. It's all congressional.
Yeah.
So we can assume, there's no assuming here. It definitely is congressional. And
well, and two, this is all biblical.
It is.
You think?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But as far as this initiative and the election commission and everything goes, I support everything they're trying to do.
Sure.
It's a fight that we need to fight, but we need to be realistic on how we're going to fight it and what the outcome could be. And let's not separate over one issue. We have two good boards members, Kevin Cry and yeah, Chris Kellstrom. Don't throw them out over one issue. They are too good to throw out because you don't agree with them about election reform.
Right.
Huh. Okay. Well, with that, Mama Jay, you came back from the hut.
I did, with my son
fired
being
up
and everything.
Fired up. All right. Time has come.
For 51.